Appreciate that presentation this morning also. I think everybody wants to have success in 2022. It's kind of like 2020, oh, so glad it's over. Then you got 2021. I hadn't heard a lot of people talk about 2022 that way. I think we've kind of learned. We just got to walk with God wherever we're at. If you got your Bible, I want to read just a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to pull this tie down. If I can, I'll leave it on. I may have to pull it off. But I want to have success in 2022. Well, how do you have success? You know, people measure it different ways. I believe that success is the progressive realization of the will of God in your life. Sometimes people count success as financial. Sometimes they count success as having, recognition or fame or accomplishment. I believe success is the progressive realization of the will of God in your life. I want to read a few verses as a prerequisite in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1 through number 4. But I'm going to be giving you scripture from all over the Bible. I'll try to move you as quickly as I can, but I'm going to try this morning to tell you how to have success. But I'm giving you this as a prerequisite. This is where Timothy was given direction from Paul. And Paul speaks to him and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. That means to be ready and prepared. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want you just to hold on to that scripture. We may come back to it in just a minute. But I want you to think about something for just a minute. None of us seemingly like it when anyone gets into our business. You ever told anybody to mind their own business? To stay out of your business? When people get in your business, you get offended, you get angry, you get defensive. Sometimes, especially, even young people say, I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I'm ready to make my own decisions. And we laugh when we hear them make a comment, I'm leaving home and I'm going to join the military. Well, they're going to be told what to do there. You go to work, you're going to be told what to do there. I've heard people say, well, I'm changing, I'm getting out of this into that because I don't like what's happening. And I try to tell them, hey, you're going to be dealing with some things no matter where you go. What about in-laws in your business? You know, sometimes I can't stay here this morning, but this goes along with the words that I read there where Paul told Timothy. He told him several things. But God has a standard for the home, too. God has a standard in our lives. What about church? What about brother or sister better than you in your business? You ever seen those? My wife likes to watch Little House on the Prairie. And every time I see Miss Olson sticking her nose into somebody's business and causing trouble, it just aggravates me so bad, I want to turn it off. You see, a lot of times people think they can fix your problems, but they have trouble dealing with their own. I heard an 11-year-old boy one time spoke to his dad. He said, don't tell me what to do. I'll just leave home. Where's he going to go? He might find something he doesn't want to find. You see, sometimes, and I think it's all the time, and I think it's true all of our lives, no matter how old you are, you really need people in your business. And I'll tell you something, church, whether you believe it or not or you like it or not, you need a preacher that cares enough about you to be in your business. Because what I just read here in Timothy chapter number 4, people say, well, a preacher ought to just preach the gospel about Jesus and then he ought to just be quiet about everything else. You need to read your Bible if you believe that. There's a standard for the home, and if you don't hear it from the pulpit, where are you going to hear it? It's not going to be on CNN. There's a standard for the way that young people need to live their lives, and if you don't hear it from the pulpit, you're not going to hear it on CNN. What about a standard for the way that you need to live and act and conduct yourself at work? I remember one time when we and McKendra and I hadn't been married long. We were living up in Woodstock. We visited a little church. And then you know how sometimes people give testimony? Have you ever heard somebody give a testimony and you said, well, I wouldn't have said that. This was one of those. A lady spoke up and she said, I just want to tell y'all I got fired today for having a bad attitude. I just looked over at Kendra, you know. Now, I would not know. Wait a minute. Not saying my wife has a bad attitude. Back up, bro. You gotta fix that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is, I wouldn't get up in church and say, I lost my job because I had a bad attitude. Well, doesn't the Bible teach us how we're supposed to behave and how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves? It does. In every area and manner of life. And what I want us to understand this morning, that if we're going to have success in 2022, this is what's been on my heart this week, then what we need is we need God right in the very center of our business. If I'm going to be successful in 2022 and I'm going to have the life, here's what success is now, the progressive realization of the will of God for your life, for my life. If I'm going to be successful, then God is going to have to be in everything that I do. I remember one time when I was about 18 years old, I was working in the glass business. I worked construction. It's rough. Work around all kind of men, attitudes. I remember one time a guy said something to me, and I said, if it's the Lord's will. I learned that all my life from listening to my dad. My dad never said anything he was going to do unless he said, if it's God's will. I said that one time, and a guy just kind of snickered. He wasn't a Christian. In fact, he was a self-professed atheist. He said, can't you do anything and leave God out of it? I said, how can you do anything and expect it to be successful and leave God out of it? And he just looked at me. What gives God the right to be in my business? Without God in your business, you won't have success. Number one is He is God. He has the authority. You know, He is the creator. He is the creator of you and me. He is the creator of everything. And folks, I want to tell you something. I don't have all the answers. I didn't know what to think this morning when we got the call real early about Brother Jimmy. I didn't know what to think this week, as it seems like every day there are four or five calls coming in. Somebody's sick. Somebody's going through something. Somebody's got something that they're dealing with in their life. And I'm thinking, God, I don't understand all this. Have you ever said it to yourself? I don't understand why, if I'm trying to serve God, I've got this battle and this struggle, and why is it that this is happening? Why is it that that is happening? I don't have those answers, but I will continue to tell you that as I go through the journey of life, there aren't answers without God. He's God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1:16, it says, this, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Folks, that's everything. There's nothing out there. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't for God. All things were made by Him, created by Him, for Him. And then it says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's God. You see, I can not understand, I can question, sometimes I can even get angry. I had a little conversation with God this morning. Had one yesterday. And I thought, here's who God is. He knows my heart. He knows where I'm at. He sees everything that I say and do. But you know something else? He knows everything that I think. I can't hide from God when I question. I can't hide from God when I say, why did this happen? Why did this person have to die so soon? Why did this person have to have a heart attack? Why did this person have to get sick? Why did this person have to go through that? I don't understand. And I think he knows that I don't understand. But one thing I've learned and I've come to agree with and I've settled on is he's God and I am not. He holds my very breath. I can't even guarantee I'll make it home from church. And I think I can question God. Psalms 147 and 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. So the question is, what does an all-knowing God have to offer when he gets into my business? You really want to have success? You got to let God in your business. So what does God have to offer? I want to give you some thoughts on that this morning. Being God, being all-knowing, being all-seeing, number one, he sees. God sees things that you do not see. He sees and understands the future. In Proverbs 5:21, it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And then in Proverbs 15:3, it says, behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You see, if he really sees, he sees what we cannot see. He sees the dangers. He has the full view, the 360-degree view, not 3D. I remember one time I got into a hunting club that I wanted to get in, but it had a reputation that the guys in it were dangerous. They would walk with semi-automatic rifles and shoot at bushes shaking. Now, I'm not in that anymore. But I got in this club, I wanted to get in it, and I was so indoctrinated as to how they were that when I went in to get in the stand the first time, I had a headlamp pointing that way, and I put one on the back of my head pointing that way. Then I had a flashlight in each hand. I said, if they shoot me, they're going to have to want to. You ever felt like that when you're trying to get things figured out in your relationship with God? God sees it all, and he knows everything. And if we're going to follow someone that understands, he's the one that understands. He has not only the 3D view, but folks, our God has something even greater. He has the eternal view. You see, he sees the past, the present, the future all at one time. And that's what omnipresence is all about. And in seeing that, he sees the outcome or the results. Now think about it. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of vision? Brother Allen was teaching in here last Wednesday night, and he asked a couple of them, what kind of superpower would you want to have? I'm sitting in the back, and I thought, I would just like to be able to see everything. Past, present, future. You know, if I could see everything, I wouldn't make mistakes. If I could see everything, every stock that I picked, Brother Ken, would be just right. God doesn't want me to see everything because he sees everything. What God wants me to do is not be dependent on myself, but come to the point that I'm completely dependent on Him and that I'm following Him, allowing Him to be God and not me. He wants to be in my business. Now, I'd like to have the kind of vision that God's got, but you know, the truth is the wisdom of God is available to you. If I want to have vision, if I want to have understanding, if I want to have wisdom, what I have to sometimes do is just get still and get down and ask God to get right in the middle of whatever it is that I'm doing. Is it a relationship? God, is it your will for me to be in this relationship? Is it a job? God, is it your will that I take this job? I believe some pastors need to pray that prayer. Not every decision that you make in your life is going to be about money or what you want. What does God want? You see, if you're following the will and the wisdom of God, no more bad deals, no more bad relationships, no more bad decisions. I'd love to say that I had a close enough relationship with God that I could hear Him speak to me well enough that I could say, that stuff's behind me. You ever think about it? What's the worst financial decision you've ever made? What's the worst relationship decision you've ever made? What's the worst thing you've ever done in dealing with somebody that you wish you could call it back? And then ask yourself the question, did I really seek the wisdom of God and ask God to be in my business? So why would I offer God in my business? Not only does He see, but He knows. God knows more than I know. In Job chapter 9, verse 10, Job said of God, he said, which doeth great things past finding out and wonders without number. Romans 11, 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God, and how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? You see, unfortunately, we do not know as much as we think that we know. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there's a verse that says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I don't know enough to make the decisions that I need to make in my life without the Lord. That's why I would counsel every young person, before you ever say I do, you talk to God about it. And that's not just a young person. It could be a person that maybe is up in years that's about to make a commitment the same way. You want God's will, not your will. Because God knows. Because He knows the best way. But I'll tell you another reason to have God in your business. Is He cares. You have no idea the concept of how much that God cares about you. Now, I've cautioned young people before. I've said this to young men. I said, young men, if you've got a Christian mama, I would advise you to listen to what she says about your girlfriend. I would say the same thing to a young lady. If you've got a Christian daddy, I advise you to listen to what he says. And it could be about a relationship, but it could also be about a path that you're taking in your life. Now think about why you want God in your business. I'll tell you, because He cares more about you than you can possibly understand. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us, because it knew Him not. So don't be surprised, Christians, for the way the world treats you. But I want to give you just a few thoughts about the love that God has for you. The love that God has for you is an educated love, because God loves you knowing everything you will, not only that you've done, but everything you're going to do. God doesn't get surprised. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I've seen people, they make a comment about somebody that's involved in church, or it could be a deacon or a preacher, and they've gotten involved with something, and they say, oh, it's such a big surprise. Didn't surprise God. He knew before he called them. The Bible says the gifts and calls of God are without repentance. And God loves you in spite of yourself, no matter what you do. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever sell. It's written in the song. It's told in God's Word that it's an all-encompassing, all-knowing love. It's an educated love. God loves you knowing everything there is to know about you. It's an enduring love because He loves you no matter what you do. All-encompassing love because He loves all people. Doesn't the Bible say that there's one blood for all men that they were made from? It's also one blood, the blood of Jesus Christ when He went to the cross, that if a man's going to be saved, it's going to be saved through Jesus. What about an everlasting love? You know, there's a lot we don't understand, but I'll tell you one thing I'm thankful for when I read it in the Word of God, and when I read it, it reads the same every time, is that our God does not change. And I'm glad that His love is a redeeming love. That means He loved us so much that He stretched out His arms and He died on the cross for our sin. You see, sometimes people want to be in your business and they want to tell you what to do, but they don't really care about you. Here's something I don't understand sometimes when people get in trouble. Y'all know what that ring, that phone rings? What did we ever do without cell phones? We enjoyed our lives. You know what people do now when they have a problem? They get on that phone. They call so-and-so. And they say, hey, so-and-so, I just want to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. And then they start telling you, and then they want to know what you think. And you must not satisfy them because the phone rings somebody else, and they tell so-and-so number two, hey, so-and-so, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. You know what we ought to do? Get on our knees. Say, God, I want to tell you something. And I know you already know because you see all things. But you know that God wants you to come to Him and ask because He loves you. God wants one thing from you. He wants you. He wants a personal relationship with you. And when you come to Him because He really, really cares for you, and you ask Him to get in your business, you ask Him to guide you, you ask Him to show you the path that you should go, a God that loves you beyond what you can understand, that really does care about you, is going to help you when He gets in your business. You see, sometimes people want to get in your business, but they don't really care about you. You know why? Because as soon as you hang up with them, after they said, don't tell nobody. I just want to tell you something. But I'm just telling you because you can pray for them, but don't tell nobody. Before you know it, Paulding County knows it. When the one you ought to took it to start with was God. So what does God do in my business? Here's what He does. When we ask God to come into our business, what He does is He directs. Didn't we say, if we go back over here, what Paul told Timothy, he said, rebuke, preach the word in season, out of season. That means be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's what God does. If you ask God into your life, He's going to come and say, that shouldn't be in your life. He's going to come and say, if you want to be in my will, then you do this. Don't do that. The question, if I were to look at the alternative from allowing God to direct my life, is I'm going to direct it myself. How good a job can I really do? What can I do to direct my life? Where will I end up without God? Can I really do it alone? It's unfortunate, but that's where people are at. That's why when a preacher stands up and preaches the truth or the Word of God, they just say he's meddling. They say he offended me. I don't ever intend to offend anybody. My opinion personally don't matter. But somebody's got to care enough about you to tell you the truth. The world's not going to do it. But when we ask God into our life, he directs us. The alternative to being directed by God is you direct yourself. Where are you going to be without the Lord? Remember, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And folks, I want to tell you something. I'm not against the word of the week on the elementary schools. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You see them when you drive by. I think that's fine. But you'll never accomplish it without God. Your home will never be what it's supposed to be if God's not in it. And young people, your relationships will never be, and this is not just young people, but all people, your relationships will never be what they should be unless it's not two, but three. It takes God. So I can direct myself or I can allow God to direct me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You see, when God directs, he tells you what to do. He tells you where to go. He tells you how to live. And sometimes, he tells you what not to do. You see, if we allow him in our lives and in our business, we receive benefits from that. Great benefits from being a Christian. You see, we have a heavenly Father, and sometimes I've used the analogy that my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My God's bigger than anything out there in this world. There's no evil out there that can stand against him. There's nothing. He's bigger than all gods. He can overcome all evil. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he knows how to help me if I'll allow him. You see, what he does, he directs. But another thing he does, and this is something that I want God to do in my life, is he corrects. The Bible clearly teaches that if you love your children, you will correct them. And it clearly teaches that God loves us, and that's why he corrects us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I love my family. I love my boys. And I want them to know that I love them because I correct them when they're wrong. If they're going somewhere that I don't think they should go, if they're living in my house, they ain't going. On Sunday, they're going to be in the house of God. That's just the way it is. Why? Because I love them. Because I believe what this book says. They tell me I'm going over to so-and-so's house. It's not that I don't trust them. I do. I love them. But I'm one of those trust but verify. Life 360 does good. Is he where he's supposed to be? I've had mine, I don't know if y'all have done this. Mine's trying to tell me the speed limit thing don't work. But before they leave, I say, where are you going? Who's going to be there? What time are you going to be home? Why? Because I'm just a nosy meddler in their business. No, it's because I'm their dad. And I love them. You know why God checks on you and he wants to know what you're doing and where you're going and who you're around? It's because he loves you and he doesn't want you to get involved with something that's going to hurt you or the rest of your life. Because he corrects and he cares. Sometimes he even goes a step farther. Sometimes he intervenes. See, intervention is when you get into somebody's business with the intention of saving them. What does a loving God do in your business that you never want him to stop doing? People in this church, I know Brother Tom Payne is very, very fluent and understands this. We've been involved. I've been involved with interventions. Where you go looking for somebody that's been away from home for a week. You find them on a cocaine binge laying in the back of a truck down on Fulton Industrial behind some of those businesses. With some guy off in the distance just waiting on them to wake up again so they can get more. And you go over and you have to pay this guy just to keep the ruckus down, to get them back, to take them to a clinic, put them in a hospital. You stand over their bed begging God to let them live. Some of these people you say, well, they need Jesus. Some of them are supposedly saved. It's all they couldn't be. What about you? Has God ever had to intervene in your life? Let me tell y'all something about God in my business. I don't ever want God to leave me alone. I don't ever want God to stop directing my life. I never want God to stop correcting me when I'm wrong. And if I get into a mess, I beg God to come and, because he loves me, to intervene in my life to keep me from destroying myself. That's what God does in your business. But you can get to the point that God will let you alone. I love little kids. Now, I'm going to be done in just a minute. I'm not going to be much longer. But I remember when Kendra and I first got married, she worked at a Rocking Horse Child Care Center. We were young. And I used to go up there, and I'd get off work early, and I'd get on the floor, and they'd pile on my back, like 32-year-olds, and I'd just play with them, and, you know, it was during the time that you could. You can't pick them up now. But I can remember playing, and they'd crawl, and they'd come home with us, and, you know, there was some the parents didn't want, and we'd keep them for months. But every now and then, and I remember one at Macklin Baptist Church when we have to pull, I used to call it pulling our duty, doing our time in the nursery. There was this little kid in one class. And every time I went in there, I would put my hand, he kicked me in my shins till they were bruised. And I can remember a little girl, I picked her up one time. Oh, so cute. She went to slapping me. Pulled my glasses off and throwed them. Clawed my nose. Choked me with my tie. You know what I did? Put her down. You and your relationship with God can be the same way. God comes by and he cares about you, and all he wants to do is comfort you, put his arm around you, love on you. But you know, sometimes God can pick you up because he wants to fix your hair. He wants to polish you. He wants to help you be the best you can be. And you start kicking and squirming and wiggling because you don't want to be in the hands of God, because you don't want God in your business, till sometimes what God will do is he'll put you down. I don't ever want God to put me down. I want to allow him to direct me. So what is the alternative? If I don't allow God in my business, I'm saying, God, get out of my business. And folks, just the thoughts of that scares me. See, there's only two options. You can open your heart, and you can invite him in. Now, folks, I know we struggle. We're human, right? We're in this flesh. But I want God in my life. I want to be like David when he prayed in Psalms 139:32, and he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Here's what God was saying. He said, God, look in my heart. I want you in my business. I want you in my relationships. I want you in my future. God, I want you to guide me in the path that I should take with my life. Or you could be like they were in Luke chapter 19 and verse 14. They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And God knows where we're at this morning. He knows if I'm willing, really, to allow him to be my leader and the Lord of my life. Or if I'm really just saying, God, I don't want you in my business. You see, I believe if I personally am going to have success in 2022, the way that I'm going to have it is to seek the will of God and to follow the will of God. Because I really believe that if we had the understanding that God has, the only place we would want to be is right directly in the center of God's will. I'm going to ask them to come and sing a song that I had asked them to sing this morning. And I want to do something this morning. Of course, the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open. But do you want to have success in 2022? Lord knows I do. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I wish I knew who I could complain to. You ever feel that way? Wish I knew who I could call and blame all this COVID on. Call them, tell them what I thought. Sometimes I wish I could just express my feelings about things. But what God's really calling me to do is just trust Him. As they sing a song, if you'd stand to your feet, if you're here and you want to have the year that God wants you to have in 2022, I want to invite you to come and pray. Talk to the Lord if there's anything on your heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you how to have success. Let God have His place in your heart. Say, God, I cannot make it on my own. Church, I want to tell you something. I cannot make it on my own. As they sing this song, if God spoke to your heart, would you please come?
She's just one chair.